This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, back hour number two of The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. It's Barry, Nick, and Joel in studio on a Thursday. And you already know by now, the Astros have their opponent for the American League Championship Series. It is the Boston Red Sox. They are starting on the road Saturday night in Beantown. And with that, we bring in a friend of the show and just a really good dude in Jeff Blum. Blummer, good to see you last weekend in the midst of a sweep of the Indians. And because I promised you that we are not going to do the fluffy stuff at the end anymore, we are going to fluff from the beginning to make you feel better. We're going to ask you, have you ever used, when you're not staying in foofy hotels and traveling with the Astros, Barry's getting ready to go to Portland, and he's considering Airbnb and other options for staying on the road. Would you ever trust an Airbnb, and would you, and or would you ever give up your house for an Airbnb? Blummer? Is he there, Nick?
Yeah.
Go, Blum. Gotcha.
Okay, good. Yeah, I'm not, I would try an Airbnb, but hell no, I'm not giving up my house for an Airbnb.
See, that's what I said. I'm like, it's one thing if someone else is stupid enough to open up their door, but there's no way I'm letting people rifle through my personal stuff, and God knows if they get drunk what they're going to do.
No, that was my exact point, because I know exactly what I'm going to do in an Airbnb.
That's fantastic.
Blummer, are you on the road with the Astros, or are you here in town?
Oh, I'm here in town, yeah.
Okay. Let's talk a little bit about this first, the sweep of the Indians. Did that go as expected for you?
Oh, no, not at all. I thought the Indians were going to put up a little bit of a fight, but they just hunkered in a corner and took a beating and went home. I expected the Astros to play very good. And you know, it's kind of interesting. I always knew that these guys were good, but I always temper the playoff-type situations just because the gravity of the home field or the gravity of the pressure moments. And I was severely mistaken in discounting that, because the Houston Astros seem to a man, absolutely thrive when the light is brightest, pardon the pun, no sunburn intended. You know, when it shines brightest, these guys step up in the biggest moments. And I think they enjoy the fact that they are being questioned. I think they enjoy the fact that they are the defending champs. And I think they enjoy the fact that they have the opportunity to go out there and restate their current dominance in the playoffs right now. I think they love it.
Talk about the fact that we all talk about the core four, and we know that, you know, who the heart of the lineup is and has been, but we also know that these guys are dealing with injuries, and Correa just went out and said he may not be right the entire playoffs. With that said, the faces may change, but the results remain the same. The role players on this team are fantastic. Look at what Maldonado did, not only behind the plate, but he added that home run for insurance in game one. Marwin leads the team in hitting. Tyler White steps up big in the role that Evan Gattis has played in the past. And Josh Reddick, all of a sudden, is a hit machine. The supporting cast was huge in leading to that sweep.
No, it was, and you need those guys in key situations, because, you know, you get in these condensed series and you're in the opposing team's scouting meetings, and they say, don't let 1 through 4 beat you. And once you get 1 through 4 and you feel like you've made it through there, you can't relax with the Houston Astros, much like you can relax with maybe some other teams. And most notably, the Boston Red Sox, who are coming into town, they're going to need a lot of help from their role players too, because everybody's going to be keen on Mookie Betts, J.D. Martinez, Xander Bogaerts, the middle part of their order. And then all of a sudden, if they pitch around those guys and they end up on base, then you've got to deal with some of those role player type guys with runners on base. And that's where I thought Josh Reddick was really going to be a key in the postseason, because he's kind of fallen down that lineup a little bit, which isn't a bad thing in the Houston Astros lineup, because those guys in front of him do such a good job of getting on base. And it's led to RBI situations. But Marwin Gonzalez, for the last, 3 months of the season, has been tearing the cover off the baseball, and then he took it to the next level in the ALDS. So I hope to see those guys continue. Tyler White, the great White, is going out there doing a great job. But these guys also had a lot of ABs during the regular season, too, to lead up into these crucial moments. But these guys, again, are stepping up and taking advantage of opportunities. It's fun to watch.
Jeff Blum joins us on the HRMP hotline. Jeff, talk a little bit about Alex Bregman. A lot of swag going on with that kid right now. How good is that as a teammate to have in the clubhouse when you see him out front? He's not afraid to face anybody. I mean, just hit big home run off of Bauer. Going into this Red Sox series, he's hit a home run off of Sale. What does that confidence do for the rest of the team as well?
The guys are going to feed off it, and obviously he garners a lot of attention because of the way he plays, but also what he speaks. And I think there's a lot of us who are at home watching these games or calling these games that kind of sit back and go, man, when I grow up, I want to be just like Alex Bregman, because you want to be able to talk the talk and have that useful dose of arrogance and be able to talk the talk and then get on the field and absolutely back it up and just, drive everybody else back into that corner, because it was great. But, the banter between him and Tyler Bauer was awesome. And then he gets him in the playoffs and hits that home run. He understands that if he's going to talk it, he's got to go out there and back it up. And he's done nothing short of go out there and back every word up.
Can we talk about Correa for a second, Blummer? Because it was a little surprising to me, but then again, it wasn't when he came out and said that his back is still bothering him. And they did the big story now on the fact that he said that every time he swings and misses, the back is an issue and it's going to be an issue. Is that just a built-in alibi because of the fact that aside from the home run late in the Indian series, he didn't have a hit, and going into the Red Sox series, in case things don't go well, that there's a built-in excuse there? Or are we legitimately dealing with a major issue? And if that is the case, going forward, how much of it is a concern for Astros fans that it's going to continue to be an issue?
I think the first point you made is a very good point. That's part of the reason that, a lot of guys, when they do play, will not expose a weakness or expose an injury just because they don't want to use it as an alibi or an excuse when things don't go right. A lot of guys will go out there and just kind of keep it under the radar, get their treatment, get their work in, help the team win. And when it's all said and done, you can kind of point back and go, hey, we got our back-to-back rings. But, at the time I was fighting through a lot of injury, and the people have a tendency to respect that a little bit more. So I hope it's not a situation where he's trying to explain away some of the issues he's having at home plate. But on the other hand, it was good to see him drive that ball out the other way again. I know that he may not have the ability to turn on the baseball like we're seeing, but you're also exposing to the other team that you're not 100%. So how is that other team going to attack it? That would be another concern for me, putting it out there in the public. But as an Astro fan, I mean, if he goes out there and plays phenomenal defense like he has been, even with this injury, and we see, a couple of big hits every now and then, that's still going to be a bonus to this ball club. But it's a little, I would have, for me personally, I would have liked to have seen it kind of hidden a little bit until this whole thing's over with.
Well, what's the key for you in this series for the Astros to pull this off? I mean, they faced this team a lot. They won the series, I think, 4-3 in the regular season, beat them in the ALDS last year 3-1. What's the key for you with this team versus the Red Sox?
It's to get the starters out of the game as soon as possible. I like the fact that the Astros match up with some very good right-handed hitting against left-handed pitchers like Chris Sale and David Price. I think that's great for them. It really makes Chris Sale and David Price have to be perfect, because we saw what happens to David Price when he doesn't make pitches to right-handed hitters in that Yankee series. He starts to get hit around a little bit. So that's going to be in the back of his mind. Chris Sale is a dominant pitcher, but can he do it in the postseason? We saw the Astros, namely Alex Bregman, get to him last postseason. So I'm curious to see what adjustments those two guys make. And then I'm also anxious to see how patient the Astros are, because if they can get those guys out of the game early enough and get into that bullpen, because I believe the weakest part of the Boston Red Sox bullpen is that middle portion, those guys that are trying to create the bridge to get to, Craig Kimbrel at the end. If you can get the middle part of that bullpen in there, I think that's where they can do a lot of damage. But if those starters are coming out early, that means the Astros are swinging it well, because I just don't think that the pitching stacks up against this lineup. And on the other hand, Astros pitchers just need to be Astro pitchers. They are very good, and they can put down some tough hitters.
You foresee any changes from the divisional series to the American League Championship Series in terms of the roster? Are they going to continue to use Josh James and those guys? You know, I know Harris gave up a run in the Indian series, but do you see, you know, I mentioned to Barry several times, look, Joe Smith's success, especially if it was going to be the Yankees, but Joe Smith's playoff success when you get in a longer series and situationally, you may just need to get one guy out. He's been there, done that, and that experience is important. You think they're going to tweak it at all, or are they going to leave it just the way it is?
Another good point, Joe Smith does have a lot of good experience, and he also has one of those rubber arms to what you're talking about, to where he could go back-to-back days, if not back-to-back-to-back, in some of these later series in the season. But I personally, I don't see them making any adjustments. Will Harris did give up a run, but I still didn't see him be highly ineffective. He was still throwing strikes. The velocity was there, and the breaking ball was there. But the biggest adjustment is going to be seeing Charlie Morton. How are they going to work the starting rotation? You've got a great roster, but it's still that rotation. You know, where it's going to be Verlander, Cole, but what do they do with Keuchel and Morton and Lance McCullers? Do they use all those guys in the same way, or is the rotation set up a little bit differently? That's probably the biggest question I have about roster.
All right, Blummer, tell us how this goes, man. How do you see it shaping up?
You know what? It's one of those things where if I say it's going to be a sweep by the Astros, everybody goes, yeah, okay, I can believe that. And if I say it goes seven, you can believe that too, because these are the two best teams in the American League. And a lot of people at the beginning of the season pick both these teams to be right where they're at. And a lot of people are picking either one of these teams to win the World Series if they get past this. But I've got to say the Astros go out, squeak out one win in Boston, come home 1-1, and then home field advantage takes over for the Astros. And they sweep through that three-game series at home and win it in front of the home fans. And we're celebrating another World Series trip.
Wow. You're an Astros fan. That's got to fire you up. And real quick, Blummer, on the flip side, what do you see happening in the National League? Is it going to be the Dodgers again, or are the Brewers going to surprise the world?
The Brewers would have to surprise the world for me. I'm not sure how their pitching staff, and I want to say rotation, but I'm not sure if they have a starting rotation.
Right.
They've got the bullpenning thing going. I'm not sure how that works in a seven-game series, and I'm not sure how that works against the firepower the Dodgers bring out there, because once they start pounding on guys, Craig Counsell's going to go to that bullpen. If they pound on the next guy, they're going to run out of arms real quick. So I expect, in my experience, I think it's going to be Houston Dodgers again.
So is that when we get the return of where's Blummer, like where's Waldo, because you're not going to travel to the Boston series?
I'll have to put on a special orange striped shirt to go out there in.
Yeah, we got to find you in the crowd when there's a big play going on, but I guess we got to wait to the World Series for that. Well, we appreciate you being a part of the show, my friend. Enjoy the rest of your week. Hopefully we get some wins, and we'll catch up with you real soon as these things progress.
Absolutely. Always good being on with you guys. Take care.
There you go. Jeff Blum of AT&T Sportsnet during the regular season, but he's just kicking it now because there's no more TV, but that means more time for us where he'll be on to join us talking a little baseball, and we always appreciate him joining the show. All right, we'll continue to move on. We see you guys on hold. Some of you guys waiting for Sigmund Bloom. We told you 2:27 to 2:30 is when we'll start loading up the phone board for questions for Sigmund Bloom. He's coming up to talk fantasy football, and we've got other things to get to as well. If there's something on your mind you want to get off your chest, 713-780-3776. As Barry told you, it's the HRNP listener line. You can call, you can text, or you can hit us on Twitter. Back with more. It's the Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
I see your dirty face.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Back, hour number two of the show continues to roll on. It is Barry, Nick, and Joel. It's the Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. Sigmund Bloom's going to join us at 2:30, so we'll talk some fantasy football. I know we touched on this yesterday, boys, but I did want to get any opinions you might have had. I don't know if you saw the Jimmy Butler interview with Rachel Nichols after what we touched on, what happened yesterday when Butler returned to the Timberwolves and hit the practice floor and if you believe what you were told by Woj and other people, took just four guys at the end of the bench and beat the starters in three straight games, talked all kinds of mess to the coach, general manager, and players. that he doesn't like and then walked out, like a mic drop. The one thing I will add to this is I did not expect the Rachel Nichols element, and the more I thought about it, the more the whole thing seems contrived and set up by Jimmy Butler's camp.
Explain, please.
The fact that Rachel Nichols not only got the interview last night, but it wasn't by a satellite. She was already in Minneapolis. She got it right after practice. And I, from my standpoint, as much as I want, you know, I'm a Jimmy Butler fan the way he plays the game. But I want to, the more I kind of analyze all this, I think Jimmy, his agent, his people kind of had this set up. We're going to do this. Now, you can't predict what's going to happen during the practice, but you can predict the fact that he's going to come in. He's made his return back, but he's going to air it out to the people that he has grievances with while he's at practice. Then he's going to leave, and ESPN's going to be waiting at his apartment or wherever it is and get the exclusive as he breaks down the major occurrences that happened to the day. It seems contrived to me. It seems like this was all part of Butler's camp to try and get him out and to force the hand of the Wolves and force them to trade him when they don't have to.
I mean, boy, that's a lot to go through to do that.
I don't think so.
I mean, to schedule interviews and have all this media hype and...
ESPN's going to be there anyway if you just say, hey, Jimmy's going to break his silence. Do you want the exclusive? Sure, I'll be there. And then from their camp's perspective going, hey, we got ESPN coming anyway. Let's give them something to talk about. So you go into practice. You know you don't want to be here anyway, but go. Go back. Don't talk to anybody going in. But on the way out, you blast Karl Anthony Towns and Wiggins, guys you don't like that came out against you from the get-go when you wanted the trade. And then you go at the general manager and Tibbs. And, oh, by the way, what leaks out, quote-unquote, to an ESPN guy is during the course of the butt-whooping he put on the starters with the guys that he picked up at practice – he starts, you bleeping need me. You bleeping can't do without me. To me, it seems like this was an all-made-for-TV movie for ESPN.
That's a big risk to take, though. Because I think when you start talking trash to your GM, I think that's going to perk up the ears of other GMs around the league. Like, man, what? That's how he treats you? On his way out the door?
That's the one thing that was the negative, I thought. But
you don't think that his agent has already told
him? I don't think that was planned. I think that was heat of the moment.
I don't.
I don't think that they would be that calculated.
I think the practice part might be heat of the moment, but everything else, I think there is some sort of story that the agent is trying to create.
Okay.
We believe that. That's happened before. I think we can make the argument with Clint Capella's contract because I think there was a report saying that Phoenix was willing to pay him a supermax. I would not be shocked if that was Clint Capella's agent planning that story or trying to create that story. But in terms of him playing on the basketball and dominating him, I don't think the agent told him to do that.
No, I don't think he dominated him. I think it was contrived that he was going to start some, he was going to talk some mess at practice. He was going to get some things that were going to be talked about because, oh, by the way, Woj had that information and had it out there before practice was even over.
I mean, dude, it's the digital age now. It's not, you don't have to send it to the newsroom.
Barry, Woj is covering the Timberwolves. He's not there at practice.
You don't think there's people that don't have connections to Woj? You know that in the Rockets they have connections. Somebody could have been like, ooh, guess what just happened? And a text flies off and he copies and pastes it because he trusts the source and it's out there. It could take less than 2 minutes for that to happen. I don't know. I don't think that they would go as far as to say, all right, you're going to trash talk the GM in practice while running with the third stringers. I don't think that would be the case, but I could see the rest of it. I mean, it wouldn't take much to convince me that the rest of it would be contrived.
Because I think his agent could also pick up the phone and talk to the Miami Heat and talk to Daryl and talk to other teams that have inquired about him and go, hey, look, we're trying to force the issue because we're trying to get him out of there and we're trying to help you guys out. So we're going to try. Don't believe all you hear today as being who Jimmy is. This is all about getting Jimmy where he wants to be and getting him to your team. Okay. I've seen it happen before.
I
mean,
I guess we're just going to disagree on this, that part. But I could see some of that, yeah, but I don't know. I think he's still an athlete, and he's still a competitor, and he's probably mad because they don't want him there. And so I think
I think he's more mad because the trade fell apart. That's what he's mad about. I don't know if Minnesota does not want Butler there. I just think that they try to make a trade because he's the one that wanted out. The trade fell apart, and now there's a lot of tension in that culture, that locker room, the GM, all that.
Oh, I don't understand that. Then I thought that they wanted him gone.
Tibbs wants him. Okay,
Tibbs wants him.
Tibbs wants him to stay.
Right.
The owner, when he heard that he wants a trade, is trying to expedite and facilitate a trade.
So then why come out and say you need me? You're the one that wants to be gone. Why would you?
The crux of this is they gave max deals to Wiggins and Karl Anthony Towns when, in Jimmy Butler's mind, not only do they don't deserve it, but he should have been locked up with a big deal before those two guys. And that's he's at odds with those two guys.
And also, it might be a situation where he's just so frustrated because the trade fell apart. Preseason's almost over. The regular season's about to start. And he's really not where he ended up where he wanted to be.
Well, and he's not in a position of power. That's what I keep saying. That's exactly. One of the main things is he can't. He wants to try and dictate a trade. But the Timberwolves have nothing binding them to say that they have to trade him or they're going to trade him. So he's trying to pull every string he can to try, whether he looks like the bad boy or the problem child or whatever the case may be. He's just trying to get himself out of town. Because he's trying to get more power than he has otherwise.
Okay. I thought it was the owner that wanted him gone. I didn't realize he had asked for
the trade. No, because the owner was shocked that Thibodeau didn't tell him from the get-go that Jimmy wanted out. Because the owner thought everything was fine and he liked having Jimmy Butler on his squad.
That makes no sense to me. If you're the one that wants out, money or not, why do you then go and just yell, you need me? You asked to be gone. That doesn't make sense.
Okay. All right, well, we'll continue to roll on. If you guys want to chime in, we got Sigmund Bloom next. So we're going to talk some fantasy football, and then we'll continue to roll on from there. Blake, we appreciate you holding. You're going to be first on the phone lines to get your question to Sigmund. Justin's coming in as well. So now is the time to call. Otherwise, get your questions via Twitter and text message, and we'll line them up, and we'll blow and go with Sigmund Bloom coming up on the second half of the show. Don't go anywhere. Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
Is ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Well, you guys follow directions better than most, and that's what we appreciate you. We told you that the time is now for Sigmund Bloom. We told you when to call, and boy, did you listen, as everyone is lined up and the phone board is full for the man, the legend. There is no myth about it. It is Sigmund Bloom. If you don't follow him, you should on Twitter, at Sigmund Bloom. He is fantastic. He is the guy that we have every Thursday at 2:30, and we have him and only him because of the fact that you don't need any more knowledge than an expert, and that's exactly what he is. And I want to remind everybody that if you don't get him during this segment and you do want to reach out to him, follow him on Twitter or go to footballguys.com, where it's a fantastic website that is also there to try and help you with your quandaries for fantasy football. Without further ado, Sigmund, thanks as always. We appreciate you being on the line.
Oh, it's good to be back. Let's see if we can break a record for the number of questions we answer in the segment.
Is this the fastest show you do, or is there others that move faster than this?
This is the fastest, but it's because we want to serve everyone we can, and it's because I know that your audience are serious fantasy football players.
Do you prefer a much slower pace? We can slow it down. I can hang up on all these people, and we can just chit-chat.
No, I mean, it's... No, on my show, I do 1 hour podcast every week where we stretch out and let the topics breathe. So I'm fine with the fast-paced lightning round where the prize is double.
I realized in 5 years, I don't think, like, because it started with Mike Liebeschock and me on the game day, I don't think we ever asked you what your preference was. We just threw you to the wolves and said, answer all these damn questions. And then you got, it's just, that's how it's been for 5 years. So, well,
I aim to please.
If you ever want to slow it down, just let us know. We can just slow it down and talk the nuance of PPR leagues if you want.
we'll save the nuance for week 11 when most people are out of the playoffs.
There you go. All right. Well, without further ado, if you want to ask a fantasy football question for Sigmund Bloom, hit up that HRP Lister line, 713-780-3776. The lines are already full, but you know the drill, 713-780-3776. You can text that number, but chances are we're only going to get to calls today because the board's already full. So let's get started. Dave, you're up first. What's your question for Sigmund?
Yeah, I got a PPR league. I need. I've got Josh Gordon, Sammy Watkins, and Amari Cooper. I need to start two of them, and I'll hang up.
Yeah, I'm probably benching Cooper. He's been letting us down too much. Watkins has to be in that likely shootout between KC and New England. And then Gordon on the other side is going to have the outside corners for Kansas City, which is the weakness of their defense.
There you go. All right. And just as a reminder, you guys don't have to ask us how we're doing or how's our day going. Just ask your questions and we'll keep it moving. 713-780-3776 if you want to get on. All right, Brandon, you're up. Go.
Yeah, I can start at three. Sony Michel, Mixon, David Johnson, and Connor with Pittsburgh.
I actually think that David Johnson is the odd man out here. Sony Michel was riding the bike at practice today, so we just need to make sure he gets in a full practice tomorrow. But he should be the centerpiece of the New England offense Sunday night. Kansas City can't stop the run. Mixon is back and looking great. Mixon and Connor should like be a heavyweight battle back and forth as the centerpieces of those offenses. So David Johnson goes to the bench. Arizona at Minnesota, they're not going to get much going on offense in that game.
All right, I'm going to be selfish real quick since we're on that game. I have Patrick Mahomes as my starting QB, and on my bench as my backup, I have Tom Brady. What do you do in that situation?
Brady. Brady here. It's because of the home game factor, because Mahomes hasn't faced Belichick yet, and we'll see what wrinkles Belichick has for him, because New England can run the ball and keep Mahomes on the sidelines. So I'd like Brady. He's my number one quarterback this week.
Interesting. All right. Oh, number one. Great. I like it. All right, back to the phone lines. Justin, you're up. Go.
Okay, I got Gronk, Edelman, and Flash. Am I playing all three?
I'm not against that because we saw last week against the Colts that everybody can get fed in this offense. Kansas City's offense is one of the worst in the league, no matter how bad Blake Bortles played against them. So I'm totally for that.
All right, Blake, you are next, my friend.
All right, I got a two-parter. RB2, PPR, Yeldon, Miller, or Thompson. Second-parter, Flex, PPR, Alshon Jeffrey, Ridley, or Mike Williams.
I'll go with Ridley against that terrible Tampa pass defense. And then PPR running back, it has to be Chris Thompson. I would expect against Carolina this week. There's a ton of wide receivers banged up for Washington, so I would expect Thompson's going to lead the team in catches.
All right, appreciate it, Blake. Up next on the phone lines is Trevor. Trevor, what's your question for Sigmund?
I think you kind of just answered this, but this week I'm looking at playing Pat Mahomes or Matt Ryan with those prospective matchups. And then I also have Drew Brees in a pretty deep standard league. He's on a bye week this week, so would you go Trubisky or Mariota?
Yeah, I'll go with Trubisky in that one, going down to Miami. They're coming off the bye. The offense looked great going into the bye. Mariota has Baltimore. And go with Ryan over Mahomes. And look, Mahomes is still my number five quarterback this week. I'm not down on Mahomes, but Tampa run defense is great, which is going to force Atlanta to pass more, which is just going to be more stats. I expect Atlanta to run away with this one.
Very good. 713-780-3776 is the HRMP listener line if you want to get in and ask questions to the very own Sigmund Bloom of footballguys.com. Up next is Blake.
Hey, when should I start to trade James Conner?
That's a good question. He said, when should he trade James Conner?
I wouldn't. Well, look, even when Le'Veon Bell comes back, first of all, Bell could still get traded, although I don't think that it's probably the Eagles. I don't think they would give up what the Steelers are looking for. But Connor's looking fantastic. I think the team's behind him. I think you're going to see a 50-50 type committee when Bell comes back. And remember, Bell for a while hasn't been the most healthy back. So I think that everyone's factoring in that Connor's going to go back to being a backup and thinking that you get out now. But I think that Connor can still have some legs for our team. I'd be holding him.
And keep in mind, Ben Roethlisberger said this week that even if Bell does come back, he sees running back by committee. One, because Bell's got to get back up to speed cardio-wise and football-wise, and that Connor's numbers have been good. So that's something to keep in mind. Mm-hmm. With that, keep rolling. Barry, let's go back to the phone line.
Yeah, Jason, you're up next, bud.
Yo, Sigmund, hey. So I got a trade offer on the table. This dude's trying to get Dalvin Cook from me for Jordan Howard, and I know right now that's a no-brainer, but what do you see moving forward for Dalvin Cook? Should I hold on to him and praise that RB2 I need?
At this moment, I would probably take Howard, to be honest, just because Cook has now been on hamstring injury number two. Minnesota's offensive line isn't opening up much in the running game. And I do think we're still going to see Howard have better days as the rising tide of the Bears offense. If they can get some things straightened out, that's going to result in more scoring opportunities for Howard. So I would probably prefer having Howard to Cook right now.
All right, 713-780-3776 is the HRMP listener line. We only have a couple of more minutes, and the line is still full. Up next, our good buddy NASCAR Johnny. What's up, Johnny? What's your question?
PPR, pick two of the four, Demaryius Thomas, Doug Baldwin, Will Fuller, and Aaron Jones. Thanks.
I like Aaron Jones this week to close out that game Monday night. And then I would go with Will Fuller in that second spot, assuming that Deshaun Watson is okay. And I think we may need to stay tuned to that story, because if it's Brandon Whedon, I'm not nearly as excited as Fuller. If it is Brandon Whedon, then I'll probably take Fuller out and put Thomas in. But I think Aaron Jones has a breakout game Monday night.
There you go. Andy, you're up next.
Yes, thank you. I'm in a standard Yahoo league, and I have Deshaun Watson and Carson Wentz. Deshaun's injuries enough to where I should start Carson Wentz tonight?
I mean, because we don't know, I probably would go ahead and start Carson Wentz tonight. And I just think that this is a situation. We saw him uncomfortable. My understanding is that Whedon was getting work with the first team in today's practice. So until this gets cleared up, I think you got to play it safe and avoid the potential zero and play Wentz tonight.
All right, we're running out of time, so I'm not going to give the number out. We probably won't take any more calls. We'll get to these last five, and that's it. With that said, Matthew, you are up, my friend.
Jared Goff against Denver or Cam Newton against Washington?
Well, there might be snow in Denver.
Ooh.
So I'll go with Cam Newton in that tremendous Carolina offense coming together.
Yeah, it is looking good. All right, Wes.
Yeah, is it time to move on from Devonta Freeman?
I don't necessarily – I wouldn't drop him because there's still a possibility that Tevin Coleman could get traded to Philadelphia. But obviously this week with his foot issue, you're not going to use him. And I think you're just going to have to wait him out on the bench right now.
Jake?
Okay, thanks.
Jake, you're up, bud.
Hello?
Go, Jake.
Yeah.
I had a flex position open, and I was trying to figure out should I put Lamar Miller in or Alshon Jeffery.
I'll go ahead and go with Jeffrey here. Miller will probably split the work with Alfred Blue, and he's probably the second best, soon to become the third best running back on the Texas roster.
No doubt. All right, Amaro, you're up.
Carson Wentz or Phillip Rivers?
I'll go with Phillip Rivers just because I think that Cleveland's defense, we saw some cracks in it against Oakland. Rivers is playing really well. He's the safe play here.
That's how you do it, Amaro. That was the model of efficiency. He just said two names and hung up. All right, last call for the day. Cody, you're the lucky last caller. What's your question for Sigmund Bloom from footballguys.com?
Yeah, two-parter, start two, PPR league. Freeman, Hyde, Crowell. And second part, start two, PPR league, Sanders, Landry, Lockett.
I'll go with Sanders and Landry. They're the safe plays with Seattle wanting to run the ball. Hyde's one of those plays, but Crowell hasn't practiced yet this week, and if that's Devontae Freeman, he probably isn't going to play, so he may have to go to the waiver wire. Otherwise, if Crowell can get into practice tomorrow, you can go ahead and plug him in.
There you go. All right, Sigmund Bloom, the master of fantasy football. Thank you once again. How can the folks get in touch with you, and what products does footballguys.com have that can help them when you're not available?
Yeah, there's our waiver wire and trade dominator, our lineup dominator apps that help you. Like, we're looking over your shoulder and helping you evaluate your decisions. Also, I do a thread in the Football Guys message board every Sunday morning where I answer questions right up until game time. And Twitter, I have, of course, projections and a ton of articles and free podcasts, the Audible. So there's a lot of ways that we're looking out for you.
And don't sleep on those apps, guys. I use their Draft Dominator app, and I don't use the in-game because if I have a question, I just ask you when you call. But, yeah. Man, if you can't get to him, use those apps. That Draft Dominator app is amazing. It saved me many, many headaches throughout the year. As always, Sigmund, we appreciate it, man. We'll talk to you next week. Good luck this weekend.
Look forward to it. Thanks.
There you go. All right, we'll be back right after this. Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
This is Ed Tuttle Jones, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, wrapping up the second hour of the three-hour extravaganza that we referred to, or at least I do, the big show, otherwise known as The Usual Suspects. It's Nick, Barry, and Joel on a Thursday. We got an FEF Friday coming up tomorrow. So, Barry, you got a comedian in your mind?
Nope.
Good.
I have not done that yet. I need to...
just like way back Wednesday. We're on our typical schedule for when we pick these things. But an FEF Friday is always fun, as we will have a comedian of the week and lots of other things to get to. Before we do that, we've got just about an hour left in the big show. So if you want to be a part of it, 713-780-3776. You can call, you can text, you can hit us on Twitter. We will be doing our picks in college and pro football tomorrow as well. For the weekend, so we'll get to that. Probably tip you off on who we picked in the office pool situation. I haven't looked at that lately. Have you seen the standings?
No, I haven't seen the standings. What is it?
I haven't either. You've said that you've taken some losses recently.
Well, once I lost, I didn't care anymore. Once I started, man, the hook.
Once you started losing, you stopped talking trash, too.
Well, that's usually how it goes, Nick. It would be dumb to talk trash if you're losing.
Yeah. Get all quiet.
Yeah, that's how trash talk works.
What were you last week, Nick? I was 1-1.
1-1.
I was 0-2. I went 0-2.
Oh, really? Ah,
2 weeks in a row, that half point got me. So,
can I ask you guys real quick? Because, again, you were my UFC experts.
Okay.
You see that Khabib came out today and said he's threatening to leave the UFC.
Proud of that.
Bye, Felicia.
Absolutely proud of that.
Bye. Why are you proud of that?
Because, man, you shouldn't be kicking out your corner just because of that. You should let them, like, punish them. They absolutely deserve to be punished, but they don't deserve to get released from their contract or not be able to corner their brothers. That's dumb.
Well, he's a fighter.
Right. So let him fight with his cornerman.
No. The guy that they're kicking out is a featherweight. They're saying
a part of his corner.
But they're saying he may not be able to fight. So he's saying if you don't let him fight, I'm gone too.
Right. I know. I'm aware.
Yeah. What's wrong with that? The guy shouldn't have came into the cage.
Yeah. Punish him. Don't release him for his contract. That's how I feel. I mean, look, if you want to disagree, that's fine. Well, but that's my personal opinion.
Yeah. I don't have a problem with him kicking him out. I also don't have a problem with him quitting because in my opinion, the UFC doesn't need Khabib as much as he needs the UFC.
All right.
Do you not agree with that?
That's fair, because Conor is the bigger draw, right?
Conor is the bigger draw, and they have plenty of money. And right. go make UFC money in Bellator and see how that works.
Something tells me this one will be different, because people want to see the rematch.
And, make UFC fans, money in Russia. You ain't going to get it. There's nowhere to get it. It would be like an NFL player. It would be like Kaepernick saying, it'd be like Eric Reed saying, if you don't give Kaepernick a gig, I'm not going to play in the NFL. Well, bye. Go play in the CFL and see how much you get paid and what notoriety you get.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know if it's the same situation. I think there's more leverage than people are giving credit to Khabib. What you just said is a common tank for a lot of radio guys. Oh, bye. Well, Conor's the biggest.
I like how you belittled me by saying that. Yeah,
because I just heard that take.
Like, I don't know.
I didn't MMA. Belittle you.
Yeah, you kind of did by just saying, like...
By calling you a radio guy?
Yeah, by saying it's a commentator. Like I don't have any insight into MMA or how it works.
If you want to interpret it that way, I called you a radio guy. That's who you are. Are you a radio guy or not?
I know what you were implying. Go ahead.
Look, I wasn't implying anything, bro. You're taking everything way too personal. What I'm saying is, I just heard that take from another radio guy, and you're a radio guy. Matt Peralt just said the same thing. I'm saying I disagree. I guarantee you Khabib will fight again in the UFC. I guarantee you.
Oh, you're saying that he's not going to leave because they're not going to kick him out.
Yeah, I don't think it's a situation where you won't see Khabib fight again. I just don't.
All I'm saying is you can't threaten the UFC. The UFC doesn't need Khabib as much as he needs the UFC. That was my point.
I agreed with you there. I didn't say that. I didn't disagree with you.
That's all I was saying. You didn't have to
disagree with
a common take for a radio guy. That was my point. It's dangerous to say that because they don't need you as much.
I didn't know that saying that it's a common take for a radio guy would offend you so much.
Well, was. I felt like you were taking a shot at my knowledge of MMA.
You're a radio guy, aren't you?
Yeah.
Is Matt Peralta a radio guy?
Yeah.
Okay. I really don't understand why you're taking it so offensive.
Okay.
The thing too is that, just taking it again from my perspective, but it seems like he thinks he's as big as Conor McGregor now, or he's getting there, because he's throwing his weight around a little bit. And Barry, I see your point in the fact that he needs the UFC because there's not really other options that are going to pay like it pays. Mm-hmm. But when do we know, and when is this whole thing going to sort itself out in terms of, Nick, when you were talking about fines and suspensions and, you know, what they're going to do in terms of reprimand for what happened at the end of the fight?
It's up to the athletic commission. The difference between this situation and the last situation, it was the state of New York handling the bus incident with Conor McGregor. So it's a completely different dynamic. They eventually made the decision to never allow Conor McGregor to fight in the state of New York again. The athletic commission, I don't know what they're going to do. They might suspend him. They might fine him as well. Dana White encouraged a 4 to 6 months. I personally said one year suspension for Khabib. But Dana White himself is shooting for a lesser type of suspension. Obviously, he has money motivated.
Oh, yeah. He wants that rematch.
Right.
He's got that rematch money on the line.
And Conor's already requested the rematch, too.
Yeah.
And that's another reason why I think Khabib is going to fight again in the UFC. Because Dana White wants this fight as well.
Okay.
But that's, you know.
What is this? Where did this come from?
Tyler is sending notes under the door.
What are you doing, Tyler? We're in the middle of a show.
I can't hear you.
That's professional.
Oh, my God.
What is that? What note is that
so
for?
So Tyler threw a note under the door to us. We were wondering if someone dropped like some paper out of the sky because it came shooting under the door and flew up in the air.
This is what while we're on air, this is what we're getting a note that says stupid radio guy from Tyler. While we're on air.
That's solid right there. That's classy.
Oh, my goodness. I don't know.
Well, I didn't mean to fire you guys up. I just thought I'd ask the question because, again, you guys are my experts on UFC, and I saw the headline today, and I thought that was kind of a big story.
Well, don't ask me. I'm just a radio guy.
Oh, man, dude, you're being a little girl, bro.
Am I?
Yeah, you are. Okay. You're definitely being a little girl.
All right, well, we're going to continue to roll on. We've got two in the books. We've got one to go. We've got 1 hour left of the big show, and the Sports Mappers are going to join us next. Therefore, we will be simulcasting on 94.1 and ESPN 97.5. We'll take you till 4. Blitz will take you till 7. Fred, AJ, and Jong will do their duty and take you on your ride home. You don't have to do a thing, and you get all that coverage as well with the two stations. So we look forward to hearing from you. If you want to join the show, 713-780-3776. You can call, you can text, you can hit us on Twitter, and we're pretty good about responding during the course of the festivities. So don't go anywhere. We got the final hour next. It's the usual suspects on ESPN 97.5.
You know who it is.
It's Kareem Jackson, and you listen to ESPN 97.5.